Welcome back to This Has to Work. Brooke Gillis is the CEO of Innovation Depot in Birmingham, Alabama. The Innovation Depot is an early stage startup resource providing office space through subsidized rent, programming, and community building. Fun fact, Brooke was one of the first tenants of the depot when it opened the new location, the second location, on First Avenue, when she was the director of sales and marketing for the Cullinard, which was the first restaurant located there. Even funnier fact, Brooke has now been a tenant slash resident of the depot in at least four different capacities with the Cullinard, Instagift, helping launch the First Velocity Accelerator cohort, the Techstars relocation to the depot, and now as the CEO. I'm going to do the math. Is that four? I think that's four.
It's four.
You're kind of the personification of the depot at this point, aren't you?
I mean, I never really thought of it like that, but you're exactly right. It's interesting. I was in a startup many years ago and someone at Instagift, so the second startup I was there, and somebody got pregnant and I had to do like the customer service. And I learned more in like a few short weeks of like answering customer service calls than I did in even 5 years of being part of Instagift. And so I think it's really cool being back in this position because it's really like come full circle, and to be a past entrepreneur and now be able to be in the seat is really exciting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So it's meant kind of different things to you at different points in your life, but it almost has its own gravity. It keeps pulling you back. So now you're the CEO. What's it like to be the CEO of a place that's meant all these different things to you over time?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I've kind of come home. Like it's where I need to be. I mean, I think that in my many years of working with startups and really just like living the startup life, I feel like now it's like I wouldn't want to be in this position 5 years ago. I think I needed Techstars, I needed an Instagift, I needed Cullinard, I needed all the pieces to fit to put me in this place today, which is really exciting.
You set an ambitious agenda for the depot. And the change in vibe is kind of palpable. I say vibe, and then I sound so stupid as a 48-year-old saying vibe, but I'll say it anyway. What changes specifically did you feel were crucial in making that change, and what was important to do quickly within like the first year of taking over?
There's really two main aspects of things that we wanted to put in place immediately. And I'll be honest, like I did not really want this job to start with. Like in full transparency, like I give Bebe Goodrich a lot of credit for me being here today. She was really honest with me and open. And when I interviewed for the job, they pretty much said, like, we're already looking at third-party companies to kind of run the facility side. And at that point, I thought, okay, I can do this. Like, I can really still work with founders. And so we hired a third-party company, Graham & Company, to come in and run the building. And that has been phenomenal. It allowed our team to almost focus 100% really on just the founders and the startups. And that's what's exciting. And so that's kind of one of the main critical, you know, things that we did. And it's been great. The other thing is, you know, when I walked into the depot for the very first time, there's always been energy there. It's been around for, you know, 17 plus years. It's kind of ebbed and flow, went up and down, had been packed and then kind of been a little siloed during COVID. But it's when I got there, it was still kind of a lonely place. The events weren't as well attended, and that I'm sure that had something to do with COVID and people kind of being comfortable working from home. And so I thought, we have to get people back in this building. And even if they're back in the building more often, not just coming to work 2 days a week. They had right. to come every day. They had to get out of their offices. You know, we couldn't help companies when they walked in 2 days a week and shut their door. And so we really tried to pause all events for a little while and really evaluate, like, what do people want? What do people need? And what we saw is that they did want community, that we were just maybe needed to give them the right type of community, which has been great. So we started a membership model, and that membership model allowed people to come in that weren't necessarily startup people, but just to kind of fill the space, to put people in the building. It's been really successful. Also, the amount of events we're having have been really great. And then I can't wait to tell you more about the event space, but I know we're going to jump to the next question probably. So yeah. I won't go all in.
Well, I'd qualify it, which is, you know, I have seen the depot over the years and in all the different kind of iterations. And at one point in time, Mickey and I actually had an office there. And mm-hmm. every time I walk in now, there really literally is a lot more energy in the place. It's more positive, if that's a way to look at it. And people seemingly are looking for that community in a way that I haven't seen in that place before. So clearly that's working.
I love hearing that. The other day, my team called me and said, we have a bunch of people here for the ACN event. And it's not here, is it? I'm like, no, it's at the club. And that was the best feeling ever, that people just thought a tech event was going to happen at the depot. And so I feel like that was a really like great moment for our team to think that, you know, it's the place to be.
It's quite a milestone. I have been kind of paying attention to your leadership style, and I'm a big fan, because you balance what I would consider very real collaboration. Like, people can come on your team with an idea. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter if it's their department or it's their role and responsibility. But you're also always looking at execution. So it's okay we talk about these things. It's okay we have these ideas. But when we decide to do it, we're going to go and we're going to execute on that. That's a hard balance to strike. But your team does seem to execute at a high level while still having kind of meaningful agency over their roles. How has that contributed to the growth of your capacity as a team? Because you're a small team.
Yeah, we're pretty lean. You know, we don't have it all figured out now, but my team has been so great at adapting to kind of my fast pace style. I'm a fast paced person. I like to just go, go, go. I rarely stop. And so because of that, they've had to adapt, and they've done a really good job. But I think it's good to have people that aren't like me on my team. We have a few people that kind of are like, okay, Brooke, pump the brakes. Let's think about this idea before we just go forward. But my team has been phenomenal. I mean, I think building this team, you know, first, my first hire was a chief development officer, Abby Gearin Russell, and she came in. You know, she's a hard worker, you know, works, you know, late nights, and just a real go-getter. And she raised, you know, a good amount of money in just the first 6 months, which has totally changed the Innovation Depot. Without her on the team, I don't think we'd be where we are. Also brought Richie along with me from Techstars, and he's my early bird riser. He's there at 6 a.m. I have to make him leave at night. He's taken on many different hats, from director of marketing to operations, and now has even jumped in as really running the programs. He's doubled our amount of Voltage applications, and we're starting Voltage tonight in just a few hours with 25 founders. We're really excited about a big class, but he's done a really good job. We also been on the event space. We had no idea that we would have to hire somebody full time to run just a small, you know, room that holds 150 people, but we did. And we hired the amazing Maggie, and she has like this, she's totally different than anyone on our team, which is so great. But it's like, we needed that last piece of the puzzle to fit. And she has this like sense of calm energy. And it's the little things, I think, that matter. It's the walking down the hall slowly when you're giving a tour and kind of like knowing what the person needs. It's making sure that if a donor comes in the door and they would like a bourbon, that she has a bourbon in their hand. Like, it's like the little things that matter and the attention to detail. Sean at the front desk has been there. She's like the light.
Sean's my favorite. She's, I gotta be honest.
She's the best.
Sorry, everybody else, but she's my favorite.
I mean, I think 20 plus years of being there, she's the first person you see when you come in, the last person you see while you walk out. She got her first office last week. After 20 years, she's never had her own office. And so we were really excited to give her her first office. And she's really great. And then, of course, we have the Graham & Company team, Blake and Becky, that really keep the facilities in check. So it takes a village, but it's a really small village.
That decision you guys made to turn over facilities to a professional property management team really did seem to free you guys up to do a bunch of other things that we'll get into some of the stuff around the event space, because I'm still, every time I'm blown away by, I can't walk in the depot and something's not happening in that event space. I also think too, I mean, just being very honest, when people would say, oh, so-and-so's coming into town, maybe it's a big investor, maybe it's a company that Birmingham Bound's trying to recruit or whatever, and they're going to go over to the depot, and I would go, oh God, please have people there, right? Please be like high energy, something like, don't have the parking lot be half empty because something's going on that we don't know of. And I never worry about that anymore, because I know that when they walk in, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the day of Tuesday or it's a Friday morning or whatever, they're going to have that kind of experience. So you talk a lot about density, and we can define that, but when you're talking about density, you're talking about, if we get enough activity, enough human beings in a physical space or in a physical location or in a tight physical kind of geography, some really cool things can happen. And that's a really important thing for you. What's your definition of density, and how has the depot been working to create that?
I think it's not, I mean, density can be something simple as, just like you said, putting people in a room, but it's not. To me, anyone can have a party. Anyone can have an event space. Anybody can have an incubator that rents out space. I think it's like, once again, I go back to the little things. It's I mean, it's like scent machines were just placed in our foyer and it smells good. You know, like Sean having a smile on her face when you walk in is delightful. I'll never forget when you talk about density, my very first board meeting, I literally paid people Chick-fil-A to sit in the lobby during the board meeting so that it looked like there were people in the depot. This was like, you know, 16 months ago. Now it's like I never would have to think about doing that because there's always people at the depot. I mean, the other day we had 300 people at different events throughout, and I was looking at my window and it was just amazing to see like the smiles and the people's faces. People do want to be there. Like the energy is there. I give a huge props to our team. They brought the right people in. They've attracted not just tech startups, but also people that support tech startups, VCs, corporations that are actually investing in them. The great thing is you have more eyes on these teams, and that's the goal.
So I alluded to the event space before, and I want to just circle back to that for a second, because I think I don't know why I would have known this, but in hindsight, it seems so obvious, which is, I don't know that we really in the community had an event space where it was located as strategically as your event space in the depot is, mm-hmm. that is as accessible. I mean, you run specials for tenants. So if you have an office there, you get a discount mm-hmm. on it. You've opened the doors wide for anybody in the community to mm-hmm. use it. And it is getting utilized in a way that I think I underestimated. Talk a little bit more about how that kind of that was like sneaky impact.
Well, when I came on board, Velocity was still there. And, you know, that was our early accelerator many years ago, which was super successful. Nate Schmidt and I started that along with Estes, who now is EDPA. He's awesome. That used to have a stage, and we built the space. And I just kept continuing over the last 8 years to see people using that stage and using that, you know, that room. And you had the big Velocity logo on the back. And I thought, people are using it, but now that Techstars has moved into that space, we don't have access to that. That's Techstars space. We love them being there, but we had to build out another space. And so we looked around, we looked for windows. And when we found the space, we just said, we got to go all in. So we raised a good amount of money. We used some of our own money. And we had no idea if it was going to work. And we work like a startup. Like, we make quick decisions and we go for it and we take risk. And so I kind of feel like the depot is a little startup on its own. So we built it. We opened last October, and we had over 2,000 people just in the first 3 months, including Condoleezza Rice and a lot of great events. And now, since we hired Maggie, we have booked 80 events and have over 5,000 people that will be at the depot just in the next few months. And that's just, you know, probably through June or July.
Yeah, it's fun to watch Maggie operate because she just kind of like buzzes around and does all this stuff. And she's like so mission driven, but at the same time is sweating every detail of that place, like from the front door to like people leaving and mm-hmm. and everything in between. So the depot generates programming and rental income, but it, as a large nonprofit, you still need some financial support from, you know, civic government, corporate partnerships. In your view, why should those entities not just be happy to, but actually be excited about supporting the depot's work moving forward?
I mean, there's a lot of ways to answer that question, but I mean, these companies are doing really, really cool things. You know, we hope that they see the energy there, that they see the kind of the exits that come out of there. We just recently graduated two great companies over to the Next Tech building. And so we hope that their dollars are seeing companies come in at all different stages and grow and exit out. And that's really our goal at the Depot. You know, the Depot is not a place to just sit stagnant for many, many years. It's a place to come in for 3 to 5 years, help us incubate you. We can't incubate people without money. Mm-hmm. We've got to run programs. We've got to have, you know, speakers in here. We've got to teach people how to do pitch decks and to pitch on stage. And that takes money. And the community, it was a test. Like, was the community going to rise up and support us or not? And they have. Large corporations have come along, just like they have many other organizations in this ecosystem. Tax credits have been great. And, you know, can't leave without giving Innovate Alabama a huge shout out. It's really changed the trajectory of the Innovation Depot.
Yeah. So speaking of support, you have a fairly large board of directors. And they have a lot of different backgrounds and affiliated organizations. And for you or for anyone, that can be a challenge. And it's a challenge many nonprofits have. You know, dozens of board members, but only a small operating team. There becomes this asymmetry of what the board would like you to do and what you actually have the capacity to do. So if you can and where you can, you try to activate those board members as a working board, for lack of a better term. And it does seem that that's happened. Can you talk a little bit more about that for anybody who's listening and says, hey, I want to get the most out of my board members. How do I really get them to engage?
Yeah. So fun fact, I actually grew up in a nonprofit home. So my dad was or is the CEO of a nonprofit called Youth Villages. They care for emotionally disturbed children in Memphis, Tennessee. And so I grew up knowing how my dad dealt with a board. You know, I grew up Christmas morning going to a group home and hanging out with kids that didn't have the abilities to be in a house. I grew up with foster brothers. And so I saw my dad firsthand work with a very large board and deal with the ins and outs. I remember the board of directors came to one of the group homes on Christmas morning, and every Christmas morning we bought him a tie. And so it would be like, we got to go get the board of directors a tie. And so it wasn't new to me because I grew up like that, but it was new to me to be the CEO, you know, with the board. And so I definitely call my dad often on how to deal with things, but the board has been amazing. Like, I don't actually think having a big board is bad. We have, instead of taking this like group approach, we've taken this more one-on-one approach. And so if we need one of the attorneys on our board to help us with something, we just pick up the phone and call them, and there's so much help. Mm-hmm. We've had people come in and help with programs. And so I have no complaints about a big board. I think the bigger, the better. We have to delegate people. I mean, obviously, you know, you can just sit on a board and come to meetings, and that's fine. But the ones that want to help, we've been able to really call on.
You mentioned B.B. Goodrich before, and we're both huge fans of B.B. for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which is she kind of set that precedent even before you came in and lent some of that groundwork to that, which is she was the interim CEO.
Yeah.
You know, and she was working very hard to do a lot of things to try and really shift that place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, almost physically, but certainly philosophically. So it was nice to come into some of that. Now, that's not to take away any of the work that you've done with the board and how they've responded. And the board members themselves seemingly have been fantastic. But yeah, she seems to have done a lot of the groundwork there, which is nice.
She did do a lot. And it was fun working with her because she came in with the startup mindset. You know, I think it's great to have a board that has a lot of corporate members on it, but also to have a mix of startups. And we do have some startup leaders on our board of directors, which is great. Yeah, BB's awesome. I can't say enough great things about her. Like, she really is the reason that I'm sitting in that seat. She had confidence in me, and she gave me the honest truth about everything. So when I went in there, I knew exactly what I was going into. I knew some of the pieces that she dealt with and wasn't able to grab a hold of during her short time, and said, okay, now, you know, here you go. But she really set me up for success, and I'm really grateful for it.
So we've kind of talked about all the things that have happened so far, but I get excited thinking about, you know, what's next. And so for the Depot, as you start looking in your kind of crystal ball or even in your strategic planning, knowing you, you probably already have this all like mapped out and your team's already executing on it. But what's next? What's top of mind that's next for the Depot?
So with our fundraising, just a few weeks ago, we were able to deploy about $200,000 back into founders' hands.
Wow.
Through our grant process. And that was really fun. You know, I don't know exactly what the innovation has done in the past, but I've never known of any type of program like that. And so I really hope that now that we have a great team on board, we have a great event space, we've really like created the density, like you said, and the serendipitous moments happening, now what's next? And so all of 2023 was grow the community, build the density. And 2024, our big goal is just help founders. Like, period. And so I think it's really going to be a challenge. Like, we've got to stay to our mission. We have so many things thrown on us every day. Come speak here. Come do this. Do you want to start this new program? How do you feel about this? And sometimes we have to just learn to say no. And that's really, really hard. But I feel like the team is like on the right path of just really helping founders. I mean, yesterday was the most fun day at the Innovation Depot, because I got to go sit through two pitch practices, and I stayed till 8 o'clock working with 8 founders with our new Boost program. And that was so fun, like getting to really work with founders and not do the other day-to-day task. And so I really hope that we're actually going to kind of pause some meetings in June and July, refocus on founders, and really kind of plan the next half of our year. So
I'm excited to ask you this next question, because you're probably one of a half dozen people that would have a perspective on this as deep as you likely have. But you've spent more than a decade in and around supporting startups in Birmingham. How has the ecosystem changed over that period of time?
I mean, I think adding accelerators has been the biggest change. So you've got TechStars and Prosper and Generator and GBeta and all these new accelerators really recruiting from all over the world. And so you've got an influx of founders that are here that care about startups, which is really, really cool. I also, though, believe, though, that it doesn't take just a great managing director, or a great program manager. It takes every single person in this community to keep and retain this talent. And that's why I'm excited that Techstars moved into the depot. You know, I really want every single accelerator to be in the depot. I know that's not going to happen, but I'm not going to quit saying that. And the reason why is, you know, when founders come to Birmingham, they don't need to be siloed in another area of downtown Birmingham. They all need to be in the same place. They need to feel the energy every single day. And really, like, even Techstars being 12 founders, that's not enough to really, like, say that I want to move to Birmingham, Alabama because of 12 founders. No, I want to move to Birmingham because, you know, they care about me. There's a great space for me. There's other founders that are going through other accelerators. Birmingham Bounds here, Tech Birmingham, Endeavor, y'all, like, there's funds. There's people, you know, investing in them and caring about them. It's a great place to live and work and raise a family. And so it's not just one or two people. It takes a village. And I think that's what's different. I think that there is a village now of amazing people.
I agree with you. The thing I keep coming back to, and luckily by doing this podcast, I get to interview a lot of these folks, yourself included, which is I think the talent and the enthusiasm and maybe most importantly, the ambition around a lot of this leadership, whether it's you guys over at the Depot, whether it's Maria over at Birmingham Bound, whether it's, you know, the Alabama Power, I mean, continues to step up as a huge supporter of the ecosystem. And I'm leaving dozens of people off, and I apologize in advance for not calling you out specifically. But just the skill and the ambition around this leadership is really inspiring. And not that people didn't have that skill before, but again, it goes back to density. There's just so many more people now that have really thrown themselves into this and are passionate about it. And it's quite fun to see. So how you get this, I think a lot, I'm assuming we get this at the fund, but people want to help, right? They want to get involved. They want to be helpful for startups, but they don't really know where to get involved. And you know, those organizations, those people can be really crucial, especially in what I would consider an emerging ecosystem. Are there any areas where you see a real need or gap where people can look to kind of help or to support specifically?
I mean, there's a couple different areas. I mean, everyone always says the gap's funding. And yes, it is funding, but it also is mentorship. I mean, the later stage founders that have been through accelerators, they sit down with me and they're like, don't give me another mentor. Don't put another meeting on my calendar. But we still have a lot of these young entrepreneurs, or not even young necessarily, but new entrepreneurs, you know, put age aside, that do need some mentorship for someone that's been there, done that. So I love the Techstars for, you know, give first mentality. I think you mentioned it on a podcast a few weeks ago, but give your time. And if you work for a corporation that helps us, so like a Protective or Blue Cross or Alabama Power or EBSCO or any of those, and I'm sure, like you said, I left probably some of them off, but volunteer to help. You know, Alabama Power did a great job coming along Techstars, and now we've got other people that are doing the exact same. I think I just saw Blue Cross is kind of aligning with Prosper to help.
Yeah, big time.
But if you work in those companies and you want to work with a founder, tell them. Say, hey, I've got this marketing skill. I'd love to give, you know, 2 hours a week to help a founder. And so just volunteering, putting yourself out there, not being scared is a big deal. And then come to the Depot, come to events. You know, we have a lot of people. Don't come and sell and solicit. I'm like, I have a big rule about that. And it's really hard to keep that at bay. But we do not want people to come and sell and solicit to our founders. It is really, really hard to be a founder. It's lonely. It's fast paced. And so we want people to come and want to get to know them and not try to just sell them a product.
Yeah, for sure. And don't, this is the thing I keep coming back to, is I'll have that conversation and two things I'll share every single time, which is you will say something out of like muscle memory to a founder they've never contemplated before. Mm-hmm. And it may be the most simple thing in your line of work, right? That you do this thing and then these things happen, or make sure you're doing these things. And it's a throwaway to you. Mm-hmm. But to that founder, they've never heard it before. Mm-hmm. And that can literally change their trajectory as a founder. And so I think that's one thing. And then the second thing is the kind of the broad answer is everything.
Yeah.
They could use help with everything. Yeah. Most of these folks haven't managed people before. They haven't hired. Mm-hmm. They haven't fired. They haven't sold. They haven't had to, you know, kind of harvest what they, you know, eat what they harvest. They have to go out there and do the work. So I think all of those things matter. You mentioned earlier talking about kind of sweating the small stuff, like the real details. And again, I go back to, you know, you talk about Maggie, you talk about the way that you guys look at it collectively as a team, events and that community building, and you do sweat the small stuff. And I don't know that startup ecosystems and startup organizations always do a great job. Now, you do a great job. Birmingham Bound does a great job. EDPA does a good job. But like the rest of us are just kind of mediocre. So for the rest of us that aren't really good at it, what are the common things that you see that we get wrong that may be a small detail, but it's really important to have, you know, kind of the impact you're looking for?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I mean, bigger's not always better. Like I some founders like thrive in like small atmospheres, we're learning. So we're learning that like having a ton of large events at the depot is not the right thing all the time. Like taking a founder in a room and just talking to them. I think sometimes people that get that wrong. I'm trying to think. I think too, like you say, like founders don't know everything. We teach founders at Techstars and now at the depot that like, don't go to meet with a corporate partner and say, hey, I want to run a pilot with you. Like get to know them first, you know? And I think that's sometimes where not necessarily leaders go wrong, but where founders go wrong. Right. So I know I'm not really answering the question, but like, I think that's something to point out. Like if you're a founder, don't go ask for a pilot on the first time you met somebody.
Yeah.
Get to know them, build a relationship with them and ask, you know, months down the road and know that that's going to take a long road to work with a corporate partner. As far as, I don't know, other leaders, it's tough. I mean, I feel like everyone's doing a lot of things right. I'm going to have to think about that one.
We'll think about this from the perspective of, let's consider this the next chapter of the depot. And so there may be a certain segment of the local population or even folks from out of town or out of state that haven't been to the depot in a while. And how would you encourage them to kind of engage with you guys? First of all, like, how would they find you? What's the web address? Like if they want to say, hey, Brooke, I want to come see what's going on down at the depot, see how we can get involved or be helpful, or I'm just curious and want to check it out.
Well, definitely all of our social media. Richie's our director of marketing, does a great job making sure that everything's out there on social media. So definitely RSVP. We've got Tech on Tap coming up tomorrow night. We have an AI meetup that happens once a month typically on Wednesdays. That's sold out every time. We had 225 people a few weeks ago. We have events called Founders on First that are for people that are just Innovation Depot members. And so another reason to be a member, you get to come to these exclusive events and learn about founders and founder stories. So on our website. But you know, going back to your question, Matt, you know, I think another thing that some people do wrong is that we don't pick the right events to go to. And so find an event that works for you. You know, this was a good timing in my life to take this job because my kids are older and, you know, they're more sufficient. But I'm spread really thin at night. I went all in my year one and I'm in year two now. And it's hard to pick the right events to go to. Yeah. And it's not always the event that it seems like the right event. And so do your research, find a way. My husband always says, like, do you need to go to that event? Are you going to get something out of that event? And typically I say yes, because I love going to events and I'm just a fast paced person. And I just invite him to come along with me because why not? It's more fun if he's there too. But there's just so many opportunities right now in Birmingham that are having events, and you just have to make the right choice, because if you weigh yourself down and you're just there to like hit all the events, you're not going to have meaningful conversations. That was another big goal in 2024. Stop going to large events and instead have these one-on-one, you know, lunches or dinners or coffees or a glass of wine, you know, one-on-one to get to know somebody, because it's such topical stuff when you go to these big events. You're like, hey, and then you're moving to the next person. And maybe that's just me. Other people have them, but bigger is not always better.
Yeah, I think the serendipity of just putting yourself out there, you never know what's going to come out of it. It's so funny. I did a podcast about networking and it ended up being the thing that got viewed the most. And what I realized is like people really are truly crappy at networking and they just make some kind of simple mistake. So hopefully everybody out there listened to Brooke's advice on repeat around events, because I think it's very worthwhile. Brooke, thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here always.